Heading into his first State of the Union address, President Biden's approval rating stood at 43%, the lowest of his presidency, and only 37% approve of his handling of the economy. So, did last night's speech help move the needle? Let's check in with Ed Mills now. He is Washington policy analyst at Raymond James. Ed, good to have you here. You know, a lot of folks were talking about last night's speech being really a critical moment for President Biden and for the Democratic Party with midterm elections now upon us. Was he able to sort of lift that leadership mantle and say what needed to be said last night to help out his party?
So overall, our takeaway from the State of the Union was unity on Ukraine in divisions domestically. I don't think this is a speech that fundamentally changes the political picture for President Biden, but I do think it was a speech that was at first trying to lay a foundation with his base, trying to get the leaners for the Democratic Party, independents who have gone away, which has been part of those lower approval numbers, back into his fold, back towards the Democratic Party, seeing if he can build upon that. You saw it very heavy on that domestic agenda that allowed him to be elected president. We'll see if it actually makes a change, but probably from a DC agenda perspective or political perspective, I don't see day after a significant change.
You know, ahead of those midterm elections, I felt like he tried to emphasize a lot of issues that have been part of sort of the Democratic messaging to voters. He talked about gun control, talked about the child tax credit, and also talked about not defunding the police, right, but actually funding the police now. We know that's been a sore spot for lots of Democratic areas around the country. Do you think that his messaging there was enough to bring back some of the Democrats who were maybe turning away from the party?
Yeah, Alexa, I think you are right, especially on the defund the police part of the conversation. What you have seen is that that has been politically very damaging to Democrats and caused what was a weaker than expected outcome, especially in House and Senate races in 2020. You did see him lay out a number of proposals that are not going to pass into law. You look at the math in the Senate, it's just not there. You look at him adding back things to the Build Back Better agenda that Senator Manchin or Senator Sinema have already said that they're in no vote on. So I think the debate for the market has been, when we look at some of those fiscal measures, are we seeing a pivot towards an election cycle and a pivot actually away from getting those signed into a law and more back to the political arena?
He again called inflation his top priority. It's going to be brought up by the Republicans, certainly, as we move closer to these midterm elections. Did you get the strong sense that he really had any plan to meaningfully deal with higher gas prices, higher grocery prices that all Americans are having to deal with and are probably top of mind for most voters?
I think that's one of the big criticisms of the speech is that it was a I feel your pain moment. But the policies in terms of what he was going to do were lacking. I think that you saw in the press conference he held about a month ago, it was, hey, Powell, Fed, this is your problem. Please solve this. When you add in the new layers of complexity with the geopolitical risk of the Ukraine and Russia war, you have higher commodity prices, more pressure on inflation without a kind of full-throated plan by the Biden administration. So unfortunately for him politically and for Americans who are paying more, inflation seems to kind of be sticking around more than he would like it to be.
And certainly he spent time on Ukraine. Some thought he should have spent a little more time. I think it was about 12 minutes worth at the top of the speech. But, you know, I really didn't hear any references to China. He failed to address other national security issues. What's your thought on that?
So the area where he suggested changes on China is what's known as the U.S.-China competition bill. And so all of the focus on Intel and their investment on a new semiconductor plant in Ohio was about a bill that is stalled in Congress. It's passed the House. It's passed the Senate. But we don't have agreement on some of the more controversial provisions. I do think that the Biden administration is going to push for that. That's about more research and development funding in the United States. It's another $52 billion funding for the semiconductor industry. So kind of the agenda on China is how do we build more in the United States? How do we confront some of the competition? How do we invest in what they are seeing as a critical kind of technology that the United States has the technology capacity for, but doesn't necessarily have the manufacturing of? So that's more of the geopolitical push on China that I was focused on from the speech.
And Ed, just finally, anything compelling or new that you heard from the president last night? And I'm going to put you on the spot here. What grade would you give his first State of the Union address?
So overall, probably an incomplete because we are not going to see a lot of these policies put into place. One thing that was interesting to me was a conversation about new privacy regulations for children vis-a-vis social media. One of the ways to get legislation done when things stall is focus it on kind of protection of children. He talked about the PRO Act that has no real prospect in the Senate. That's a big priority of labor unions. But you could see the Department of Labor regulate there on independent contractors. So I guess one of the big takeaways I had from listening to this is beyond being a political pivot, is this also recognition that the next things that we see out of this government is more regulatory push as kind of the legislative agenda might be coming to an end.
All right, Ed Mills, Raymond James Washington policy analyst, thanks for your insights today.